make this boy sit in class docile and quiet like a girl all day. That boy needs activity. He needs to have wood shop again. He needs to have the automotive class. See how they did away with all that? Wood shop, automotives, stuff like that to teach a boy skills and trades and how to work with his hands. It's taking the fight out the boy. Any guy that has male character is foreign to this whole culture now. He's strange because he acts like a guy. Even the football players have hair draped out of their helmets. The guy used to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers with all that long hair. What was his name? Palomalu. Hawaiian. Used to make hair commercials with shampoo looking at his hair. This guy, his hair just. All I need is a razor. An axe or a machete or something. I just get rid of all that. Just shave and bald. That's not germane to a man's nature. It's something wrong down here. The guys got hair draped down their backs and the women got crew cuts. Amber Rose got a crew cut and then some guy standing there with hair down his back. They're walking down the aisle like that's normal. Something ain't right up in here. It's the effeminization of the culture. It's turning men into women and women into men. And that's what we're seeing. This weekend, the black gay pride gathering in Atlanta. All these black men in a city full of black women come in to celebrate their gayness. With all these black girls walking around looking like China dolls. And you somewhere with some old joker out on the street holding hands and kissing in Piedmont Park, rubbing all over each other. And everybody just, you know, everything's cool. Young girls going to school, going to college, getting degrees, master's degrees, doctorate, some of them. Not a man in sight. Go to a restaurant on Saturday night, table full of women, 15, 16 deep, out eating dinner together. Next to tables full of homosexual men. I've seen it, man. I've sat there looking at it like, I can't believe it. Want to get up in the restaurant, clean, you know how you clean your glass? Clean, clean. What is wrong with you crazy? What's wrong with y'all? I mean, girls get up, go to the restaurant, beauty queens. I mean, man, just built, shapely, hair draped to left and right, curls draped down their shoulders, makeup immaculate. Girls got style walking to the restaurant, and the guy just rubbing another dude's neck while she walked by. Don't even see her, just kissing the guy on his ear, just, and she just strutting. I just, God don't even know she's alive. And I'm looking at it like, it's deeper than a shame. It's a crying shame. And the women are now getting just, they don't know what to do. They don't want a woman. I keep preaching as hard as I can to young girls. These homosexuals don't want you. They bathed in that old hip-hop track, they're homosexual. They use women and brag to the fellas about using them. They make you a laughing stock until they rip your heart out of you. What's the goal? For you to turn to a lesbian woman? Because the lesbian woman will treat you more like a man than a man would. She's taking care of you, setting you up, giving you money, paying for your rent, buying you a car, buying you a wardrobe, getting your nails done, getting your weave done. Dog, set up with this hardcore dyke, and the men don't want nothing to do with you because they want each other. That's the society we're living in. That's what we're going to wade into to save people. So don't think people come to church all clean and pristine and shined up like a brand new car. They're coming in beat up, rusty, and wild. And then you got to tame them. It's like bringing in wild lions, and now you tame them once you get them. You know, now we got to take them through a process, you know, to change them up. You got to transform them with the washing of the water by the word. They're coming in out of hell. Their minds have been programmed to be hellions, to be renegades, to be rebellious. You got to be able to stand in the midst of this man and not flinch. God cleans fish after he catches fish. That's how it goes. They're going to come in full of lust and all kinds of contrary spirits. That's why we need power. Because you're bringing in demon-infested vessels, You clean the vessel by driving off the demons and transforming the mind. Can Christians have a demon? Who else you going to cast the demon out of if he's coming back with self and others stronger than himself? An unsaved person can't stand in the midst of that, because when he comes back, there's nothing to stop him from re-entering. You're cleaning fish when you're casting out devils. You're casting off the flesh. Well, you're casting out the demons and you're deadening the flesh. The word will deaden that flesh once it's obeyed and believed, and then you can cast out the demons. You can't spoil the strong man's house unless you're stronger than the strong man. And this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. You got to have some power when these folks show up. So you see what we're up against. Let's paint a real picture of the culture and society. Let's stop pretending it's not as nasty and as bad as it really is. Yes. Ellen DeGeneres couldn't have a TV show 20 years ago. Raven Simone couldn't sit on The View and tell you anything 20 years ago. Think about what I'm saying. Anderson Cooper couldn't be doing the news. Don Lemon couldn't be a network anchor. Shepard Smith couldn't be on Fox News representing anything coming out of the closet as a gay man. They would have lost viewers by the millions. But now, since the devil sodomized the whole society, they're more normal than you are as a heterosexual. It's in vogue to be homosexual. You're on every A-list. Every party invites you because you're what's happening, because the host of the party is also homosexual. This thing is intruding into every fabric of life till you see them walking through high schools, the girls holding hands like a couple, walking through the hallways, kissing each other, you know, get to their class, they kiss each other. I see you have the class, Donna. Okay, Lisa. And they just go, and all the kids just accept them as just another couple. If you stand against it, they'll turn on you. Everybody will turn on you. You're intolerant. You're homophobic. You're prejudiced. They'll turn on you, man, like a rabid dog. Parents who have homosexual kids, they'll turn on you because I don't want you disallowing my kid. I don't want you standing against my kid. I don't want you saying anything contrary to my kid, because what has been made God in this culture, what is on the pedestal worship and bowed down to more reverently than anything else, is feelings. You made them feel a certain type of way. You made them feel uncomfortable. You made them feel unwanted. You made them feel unworthy. You made them feel less than what you are. You made them feel like they were dirty inside. You made them feel like God doesn't accept them. Guess what? God won't accept you like that. Feelings have been deified. Feelings are now God. If you notice people, they'll talk to you based on what they feel. And if it doesn't feel good, if it doesn't feel accommodating to me, I disallow it. I stand against it. Hate speech has to be based on something. You see, you can't just have hate speech based on nothing but your definition of what's hateful. You see what I'm saying? So hate speech is now going to be prosecuted. The only thing that stopped it was Hillary didn't get in the White House. Right now, this would have been shut down. Live stream would have cut it off. Facebook would have, you know, they're fighting right now to dismiss stuff off Facebook and YouTube and everything. Just bathed in hate speech. A lot of videos like from ministers like these are going to go. Hate speech. They said something against homosexuality. And it made the homosexual do what? Feel bad. So that's hate speech. Based on how a person felt, your free speech rights are going away. It's already happening in Canada. Man, this thing here getting ready to hit rock bottom. And most Christians are going to be so torn up about it. And so, I just can't believe. Man, believe it. Settle it. You're the odd man out. Speak truth to power. Tell the truth and not care what happens. Stop trying to downgrade the gospel. We don't need Google or Facebook or Instagram or none of that social media stuff. The gospel is a self-contained power within an individual. You change cities and whole continents from individuals hitting the ground. Social mediums, The apostles, who were they tweeting to? You see how stupid it is? Everybody got a phone joined like it's been soldered to their hand. Just can't go anywhere without a phone. Because they got to stay connected to everybody on social mediums. I got to be just filing through Facebook all day trying to see what's going on. Who got something to say? What's the latest post? So I can get in there and say something. Man, divest yourself of all that junk. Get back to prayer and fasting and the word of God. Get powered up to walk in the midst of this total invasion of the Midianites, the demons, and stand. Be marginalized. Be identified as somebody contrary to everything. I'm against everything. Everything the devil brings on shore, I stand against it. That's how you got to be. And not need to be a part of anything. Why do you need friends? Crippled people need friends. Whole people can have friends and not need them. See, anything you need becomes a drug. I got to have friends. Why? You don't have to have friends. You weren't born with friends. You weren't sitting in the hospital when you were born with a bunch of friends. You didn't even know the other babies in the nursery. See how crazy that is? I got to have friends. No, you got to have Jesus Christ, and he might give you a few friends.
That's right.
It's real. So Gideon moves to begin to destroy this junk they raised up to worship. And they identified that it was Gideon, the son of Joash. Verse 30. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die. They getting ready to kill you about worshiping these false gods, and the false gods breed sodomy. And we're going to kill you for touching this sodomite stuff now. This sodomite imagery, man, that's going to be World War III. The thing that separates this ministry from other ministries is that we deal with that sodomite takeover. We call a spade. We tell you that oral and anal sex is sodomy and it will damn you to hell. That's the separator. That's why they turn on this. And anybody you talk to and give a CD to, watch out, they hate what I say. Because they worship at the altar of sodomy, worshiping Baal and Ashtoreth, the male and female deity that represents sodomy. That's why what you think of the heterosexual will stand with the sodomites against you. Because they practice sodomy themselves. That's the giveaway. That's where the rubber meets the road, and that's the dividing point right there. Then they'll tell you, show it to me in the Bible. You got to show them this in the Bible? What has happened to your mind that you've been so degenerated and so reprobated in your mind that somebody has to show you this kind of filth in the Bible? Even though we can do it, why is it even necessary? That somebody has to prove to you that these filthy activities are germane to a normal human mind. Something is badly, badly influencing your mind. Something has happened to you that's bordering on insanity if you got to be shown this in the Bible. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. So the Jerubbaal means let Baal plead. So Joash, his father, says that now Gideon will be called Jerubbaal. Let Baal plead. In other words, if Baal is a god, let Baal fight Gideon. Let Baal plead against him. You say he's a god, why you got to operate for him? Why can't he defend himself if he's a god? So he changed Gideon's name to Jerubbaal. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali. And they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so, for he rose up early in the morning and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew all on the ground. So you know what's happening now. I'm getting ready to go out here against innumerable forces. And I'm not going out here guessing whether or not I'm called and sent. So before I go, you need to validate and verify the fact to me that you are going with me. Because I ain't going out here by myself just like me and you would have done. Don't be trying to talk about Gideon. See, he didn't have no faith. No, hold it. Before I go out here against all these folk, somebody got to show me something. That's normal. That's what I would have done. You're not going to be, let me just go out here in faith. No, no. I got to know that you are going to God, because I ain't going by myself. God will begin to show you some things to let you know he's with you. He's got to validate and stamp you approved. The Bible says Jesus was sealed.
Amen.
By the power of the Holy Ghost. You got to know you got power. I'm not going to come out here trying to flex on the devil and got no power. So that joke will walk up the front of you and down the back of you. So you got to let God show you for real. And he'll show you through processes, through progressive steps that I'm with you. And you'll feel more confident as you go, because God's going to prove he's around. Then Zerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand have saved me. So if you take a big army, y'all going to think y'all did it. I got to cull this thing down. I got to cut it back. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned on the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So you see now, you started off with 32,000. The first people he called out were the people that were afraid. 32,000 people in front of you stand on a pedestal and say, listen, everybody afraid right now, just go back. 22,000 people just hurry up. Yeah. Just the fearful cuts back the army. Can't you see the church folk are terrified of this? They're scared to death of this. That's why when you play a video or play a CD for them, they just get shook up and just, you know, I don't know about that. I don't believe that. I don't know if that's right. He seems so angry. Because they're afraid. He seems like he just so, yeah, I don't know. It just sounds like, yeah, I don't know. You're afraid. They're scared. They're scared to death. Who are they afraid of? They're afraid of the devil in them. So you got rudiments of the devil in you, and the spirit of fear attached to the devil's kingdom is making you self-aware and afraid.
Yeah, that's right.
Devils within make you what? Self-conscious.
Yeah, that's right.
What's going to happen to me if I? Well, I'm not going to stand here and say, I promise you the Lord will be with you and no harm will befall you. That's a lie. Because Stephen is dead tonight. You don't go because of what God will do or what God will allow. You go in spite of it. I'm here to do a job, and if I die and perish en route, hey, I die with my boots on. You're here to do a job. This is a military affair. Nobody is promised to come back from the war. He didn't say go and come back. He just said go and proclaim the gospel. He didn't say nothing about coming back. That's what it's all about. Do you believe unto death? and they love not their lives unto the death. That's what it's all about. This is a conflict. It's a war. It's a war zone. And a war zone is not pretty. Everybody's not cut out for this because they're afraid. 22,000 people called out with the first cut. 32,000 strong. You get rid of 22,000 with the first cut. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. I'm down to 10,000, still got too many folk. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto you, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that laps of the water with his tongue as a dog laps, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that bows down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I give you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. So you cut down a 32,000 man army down to 1%, 300 people. That's all the church you got. 1%, I believe, of the folk you see professing Christ are going to be battle ready. So don't be thinking you're going to get all these numbers of folk going to engage. Most of them are afraid or they're proud. That's what you got. The ones that bowed down to lap it up were proud. The ones that took it up with their hands to the mouth were humble people. You know, because they were lapping it up. You know, others were taking us a handful of time, a little bit of the time. See, that's what he was saying. He was separating the proud from those that were humble. So you got the first call fearful, the next call proud. Now all you got left is 300 dependent people. That's what you got to work with now. Don't get it twisted and think you got this innumerable amount of saved people, because they're just not there. Don't fool around with it. Don't pretend. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. I got 300 men, and they out here like grasshoppers. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. That's a lot of folk, man. Talking about people like grasshoppers and their camels without number like sands of the seashore. You might have been looking at tens of thousands of armed men, and he got 300 people. Good night. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay alone. And this fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has given into our hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow you the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Shittah in Zererath, and to the border of Abel-Mehalah, unto Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and of Asher and all of Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and take before them the waters unto Beth Bara and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Beth Bara and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of Jordan. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, why have you served us thus, that you called us not when you went to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. And he said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grace of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God have delivered unto your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison to you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over to him, and 300 men and that were with him, faint yet pursuing them, tired but still pursuing. We're dead tired, but we're still pursuing the enemy. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint. And I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And the princes of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto your army? And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, then I will tear your flesh from the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. And he went up thence to Penuel and spake unto them likewise, and the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. And he spake also unto the men of Penuel, saying, when I come again in peace, I will break down this tower. See, everybody that wasn't helping him, so y'all just wait right here. I'll be right back when I finish what I'm doing. And I'm destroying everything around here. You better help me, because I'm dead serious. I'm on a mission from God, and you better feed this army. And they refused because they feared the Midianites, because they had more numbers. Notice how most people never get with the real. They stay with the false to their own detriment. They won't feed the real. They keep feeding the false. All monies, all helps go to the false. And they want to see the real perish. But God sustains the real until the time appointed, all by himself. Now, Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their host with them, about 15,000 men. All that were left of all the host of the children of the east, for there fell 120,000 men that drew sword. Good night. 120,000 was already dead. It was 15,000 left. And Gideon went up by the way of them that dwelt in tents on the east of Noboth and Jogbaha, and smote the host, for the host was secure. So what happened when they broke those pitchers and shouted, and the light was shining in the darkness, they turned on each other and killed each other. So he pursued the leftover 15,000 with 300 men. You got 15,000 men running from 300 guys. Because they thought they were outnumbered, because God gave the illusion of hundreds of thousands of people around them, till they got disillusioned in the dark and turned on each other. And when Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them and took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and discomfited all the hosts. And Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle before the sun was up, and caught a young man of the men of Succoth and inquired of him. And he described unto him the princes of Succoth and the elders thereof, even 70 men. So you got there 77 men. These are the elders of Succoth, who told him they weren't going to feed him. And he came unto the men of Succoth and said, behold, Zeba and Zalmunna, with whom you did upbraid me, saying, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in that hand, that we should give bread unto thy men that are weary? And he took the elders of the city and thorns of the wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. And he beat down the tower of Penuel and slew the men of the city. So he's getting vengeance for them not helping him. Then said he unto Zeba and Zalmunna, what manner of men were they whom you slew at Tabor? And they answered, as thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, they were my brothers, even the sons of my mother, as the Lord lives. If you had saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared because he was yet a youth. So he's telling this young boy, kill him. He didn't draw his sword because he was afraid, because he was young. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said, rise thou and fall upon us, for as the man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose and slew Zeba and Zalmunna, and took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us, both you and your son, and thy son's son also, for you have delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. That's the transition we're trying to make now. And you see how the people are afraid to have the Lord rule over them? They ask for a man to rule over them. That's why people don't come out of churches. That's why they stay religion bound. They won't let the Lord have direct interface with them. They want to filter God through a man, yet they don't understand they're filtering Satan through the man. Because God wants what? Personal interface. He wants to answer and deal with his people personally. And folks don't like that. Because if I got personal interaction, guess what I also got? Personal responsibility, personal accountability. He talked to me. So I can't claim that somebody told me. That's what they're trying to avoid. And Gideon said to them, I would desire a request of you that you would give me every man the earrings of his prey. For they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. When you see a man with earrings on, you're looking at an Ishmaelite, a man bound in covenant to false gods. And they answered, we will willingly give them. And they spread a garment and did cast therein every man the earrings of his prey. And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, beside ornaments and collars and purple raiment that was on the kings of Midian, and beside the chains that were about their camels' necks. And Gideon made an ephod thereof and put it in his city, even in Ophrah. And all Israel went thither, a whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. So you see all the leftover spoils from battle, they began to worship that junk. It's something in people that keep seeking after idolatry. They'll idolize anything. You take off a pair of shoes, they'll idolize them. You got women that idolize shoes. They can't walk pair of stilettos without buying them. A foot fetish, a shoe fetish. That's real. That's how bad it is. Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more. And the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. And Jerubbaal, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house. And you know, Jerubbaal is still Gideon, who had his name changed by Joash. And Gideon had 70 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives. So Gideon had 70 sons by a multitude of wives. I don't know what this guy was trying to prove. And his concubine that was in Shechem, she also bare him a son, whose name he called Abimelech. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age and was buried in the sepulcher of Joash, his father, in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal-berith their god. Good night. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, who was Gideon, named Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. So they didn't even like the deliverer who brought them out, turned on God again, and went back to idolatry. You find the church world cycles through seasons of idolatry. Church folk just love idolatry. They love to worship something other than Jesus Christ because they don't want personal accountability and responsibility before the living God. So I try to set up citadels of false worship to protect me from God's presence. What they're trying to run from is the presence of God. I want to have some kind of a screen, some type of an element that separates me from God while claiming to serve Him. When it's all false, it's all made up. And you find them become members of personality cults. Remember when Acts it talked about, I am of Paul, I am of Cephas, I am of this one, I'm of that one. And they had to admonish the people, look, all these are just men. You should be in direct contact with Jesus Christ yourself. To this very day, people set up personality cults. You'll see them on the internet talking about their favorite preacher. And they won't do one cotton picking thing about anything, but talk about what some guy preached somewhere that they just enthralled with his messages. And they don't do anything but sit around just talking about personalities. Recently, you see, when Houston flooded, everybody jumped on Joel Osteen, what he wasn't doing. Talking about Joel Osteen is like talking about a Tibetan monk or something like that. He has nothing to do with God. Has nothing to do with the church. He's not a pastor in the church. Has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So why even bring him up? Why when you bring up, you know, like Genghis Khan or Confucius or some Plato? What does Joel Osteen have to do with the church? Why would you expect him to do anything that reflects Jesus Christ's nature if he's not a member of the body of Christ? What are you evaluating him for? You know why? Because you're not doing anything yourself. What are you worrying about him for when you could be doing it yourself? Louis Farrakhan to get on the internet lying about serving Jesus. And they explode with, Farrakhan may be saved. I was dialoguing with a lady about that. She was talking about, see, Pastor Price, you don't understand the impact he could have globally. If Farrakhan got saved, he could lead a lot of people to Christ. I said, you know what? That's the same spirit that believed that if Beyonce got saved, she'd lead a lot of people to Christ. No, they wouldn't. I said, you know why I know, lady? Because God ain't looking for Farrakhan, he's looking for you. Why would he be able to lead them and you can't? You know what has happened? You let the world magnify a personality in your mind, believing that God is enthralled with the same personality that you're enthralled by. God don't care nothing about Farrakhan. The best Farrakhan could be if he confessed Christ would be a person with a notepad, a pen, and a Bible parked his butt right there to be taught the word of God because he knows nothing about it.
That's right.
He couldn't lead a donkey to the trough to drink of water, to get a drink of water. He don't know nothing about this. Why would you think he's so dynamic and all-knowing that God's going to use him dramatically when you sit there already saved, full of the Holy Ghost, he got you sitting on green to go? What does he need him for? Nothing. He walked down the street, Jesus, and got a bunch of beat-up fishermen and turned the world upside down with them. With the standing religious order not even understanding what was going on. Gideon, a man of valor, called to destroy everything that nobody would even suspect he was the guy. David, a man chosen, a little shepherd boy, nobody expecting him to be the one. You saw how the prophet Samuel overlooked everybody and finally got down to little old David. Well, I got one more son out of the pasture, but he couldn't possibly be the one. Walk up to him, he's the chosen one.
Amen, that's right.
Jesus. What's the type of Jesus in the Bible? Joseph. Joseph was the thrown away son, sold into slavery, sent down to the bowels of a prison and then exalted, coming resurrected from the dead like Jesus, then enthroned, sitting at the right hand of the king, just like Jesus is enthroned to the right hand of his father. What did Joseph in the same thing that stood against Jesus, the harlot church, Potiphar's wife. What did John the Baptist in? The same thing that does in Jesus. The wife of the king, a type of the harlot church. What's going to turn on me and you? Don't worry about the drunk. Don't worry about the crack addict. Don't worry about the stripper or the whore or the prostitute or the pimp. Don't worry about the mass murderer. The person that's going to turn on us is the church folk. The harlot church is what despises Jesus because they are Baal worshipers who worship another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit. And you come with the authentic, approved Jesus, and they hate you for it. Potiphar's wife, Herodias, the woman rides the beast with a cup in her hand full of what? Blood of the saints and abominations of the earth. That's the enemy. The enemy is your auntie in the third row of that Baptist church down the street. Then anytime you bring up the truth to her, she hates you. That's the devil. Your mama, who despised the fact that you found the truth and came out of that Baptist mess she was in, and you got the real thing. That's the enemy. Can't you see he said your enemies will be in your own household? Mother against daughter, father against son. Can't you see the uprising is coming from religion that despises Jesus Christ because they replaced him with another? You don't understand what we're in. You don't understand how deep we're in this thing, how far it's gone. All the devil is waiting for is for the reestablishment of the empires of the Nephilim. The Nephilim are the disembodied spirits that we now call demons. The offspring of the hybrids, the fallen angels mixing themselves with the seed of women and producing these giants, these Nephilim. Read it in Genesis chapter 6. Folks talk about how could an angel have sex with a woman? They left their first estate, the Bible says, and incarnated. And since they're shapeshifters, they can downsize body parts to accommodate a woman. They can have a penis the size of something that can accommodate a woman to produce the offspring. What's the devil after? He's after the DNA. He's after the gene pool. Daniel says what? They will mix themselves with the seed of men. He's got a gene pool that's been contaminated. We've got hybrids that are demons. Half human, half angel. And they're disembodied. And that's what they hunt for. To be embodied again. To do what? To express themselves. Who do they honor? Every child honors their father. That's why they worship the angels. Because they were sired by the angels. This is the metaphysical supernatural war that church folk don't know anything about. Can't you see how the devil bathe the people in this make-believe gospel so they can't see the intergalactic nature of the warfare? They don't understand it's a metaphysical war. It's a supernatural war. And he exposes everybody to the fact that it is in Ephesians chapter 6. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. We're dealing with principalities, powers, the rulers of the daughters of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to obey Christ. We got to have spiritual weapons to deal with metaphysical nightmares. Man, you talking about Godzilla. You talking about King Kong. You're talking about Megatron. You're talking about Transformers. Don't you know the movie Transformers is a type of the visitation of the fallen angels? Don't you know that practicing and seeking after singularity? When you hear the word singularity, mark this in your mind what they're talking about. Singularity is the merging of man with machine. They're teaching computers artificial intelligence in order to merge man with machine. That's why you get movies like The Terminator. They're trying to create DNA strands that are eternal, and they're trying to seek after the strands of the fallen angels. They want to see instantaneous reproduction, regeneration of wounded limbs. You ever seen the movie Terminator with that liquid thing? You kill it, you blow it up, and it just whoa. You can't kill it. They're looking for a genetic mutant. They're looking for super soldiers who have their DNA married to animals. They have the eyesight of eagles. They run like antelopes and like jaguars and fast animals. Nobody made movies like Jason Bourne, Lucy. They're trying to tell you something, man. The experimentation is going on in the laboratories right now. We're about to go supersonic. We're about to go metaphysical. And you're sitting up in a Baptist church or a Methodist church or Episcopalian church with nobody telling you what we're about to engage. And you're totally what? Unarmed. Unarmed. With the children of the angels about to make their appearance. UFOs are real. Ezekiel saw one. Ezekiel saw a wheel way up in the middle of the air. You're about to see a breakout. Don't you know what the world would become if alien entities really appeared? Aliens don't come from outer space. Aliens are interdimensional creatures. You don't believe that? You wait till God let you wake up one night at one standing over your bed. I've been there, done that, buddy. When they cross over that divide and stand up in front of you, you find out. That's when your eyes get bug-eyed and you start thinking, this thing is real. Yeah. This thing is, you wake up sweating, yelling, this is real. Telling your wife, hey, wake up. This thing is real. Just get the prayer, get the prayer, get the oil, get the oil. And you going to run to get some ball of Crisco, anything. Come with some canola oil, come running. Pour it on your head as you run to. Drenched in oil, you know, just. Because now it's real. Somebody was yelling, this thing is real. You know, this thing, it's been real. Where you been?
Right, it's been real.
Casting out devils, you see them begin to left it off the ground. See a shapeshifter change from man to werewolf for real. That's where we're going, y'all. This is unbelievable. Read the Bible. Read what's in the Bible. What happened to Nebuchadnezzar? From man to animal. Don't you know real astute, hardcore witches and warlocks, voodoo practitioners and root workers, they seek out this kind of power to shapeshift. They walk through walls, man. Gurus in India, they don't use cars and stuff to travel. A guru was sitting in the back of a car, and the car would drive itself. He'll drive it with his mind. Mm-hmm. Right. They levitate off the ground. They meditating, levitating off the ground, talking to you, teaching you. They levitating midair, teaching you. Mm-hmm. A well-trained guru. The woman was possessed with the spirit of divination. She knew she could tell futuristic events and bring her owners much gain. It was a slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination, what's really called a Pythian spirit. And you got a Python spirit from the idol of Apollo, who was a fallen angel who imparted a spirit of Python to the girl. That word divination in the Bible is the spirit of a python. She had a snake spirit, a reptilian spirit in her that could tell futuristic events. And if you knew the future, you could get rich by knowing the rise and fall of the stock market. They still making plenty of money right now. Gene Dixon did it for a long time in Washington with politicians. Why do you think Ronald Reagan's wife up there having seances and stuff in the White House? Just like Abraham Lincoln's wife. They want to know the future. They want to tell Reagan what to do based on the stars and the zodiacs and the astrological calendar and the predictions that were given forth. You drive through your neighborhood, you see the palm in your neighborhood, don't you? Sister Roberta, palm reader. This stuff ain't going anywhere. The language of the Bible is language about witchcraft, divination, necromancy, astrology. Don't use the stars to guide you. I'm talking about the real thing. That church folk are sitting around basically trying to stay ignorant of. And when these big boys hit the ground, when the real transformers get here, you're talking about Optimus Prime. You're talking about Megatron. We're talking about the real boys, the fallen angels that are the real deal. Apollo, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn. This thing is real, man. Neptune, Poseidon. All these things are real. Did you not know that NASA has all their spacecraft named after fallen angels? You remember the names of the spacecraft? Gemini, Apollo. All this stuff is about the fallen angels. They're always given credence to. The Pope is the high priest of the fallen angels. You remember Pergamos? Where Satan's seat is? That was the altar of Zeus, where human sacrifices were made to Zeus. Just like politicians to this very day sacrifice babies to the demons in order to get power. Can't you see that the Roman Catholic Church is built on the back of pedophilia and sodomizing young boys for power? The semen of a young boy gives a warlock a witch power. That's where Eddie Long was ingesting gallons of it. He wanted the semen from the boys in order to have power over new birth. Why you think the people can't even leave new birth to this very day? Because they've been divined upon by a master warlock practicing sodomite witchcraft. Sex magic. To think Michael Jackson was seeking after from them young boys. He needed that semen to have power to be the king of pop. Buddy, this is real deal stuff. I ain't talking no play stuff. You better get some heat. You can't afford to be distracted by anything. Everything I'm blowing off. I got to do what I got to do. Because these boys are on their way back. They're here. That hurricane ain't spinning in the Gulf, destroying everything in sight for no reason. Can't you see an eclipse came and now hail breaking out down here? There are signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and calamity on the earth. Read Revelation. It's happening right now in real time because the boys are here. The portals are open. What do you think Jacob opened up over his head when that ladder came down? That was a portal. The real language in the Hebrew is not a ladder. You know what it is? A vortex. What's a vortex? It's a spinning hole. It's like a tornado or a hurricane makes. A vortex opened up and entities came through. Witches and warlocks seek to open up an interdimensional vortex. They're dividing up entities to come across the interdimensional divide so they can manifest themselves and get into me. They invite those spirits in through an invocation to embody me. See, Beyonce tried to slick it up, talking about getting bodied. She really saying getting embodied. She want that demon in her. She wants Sasha Fierce in her standing strong because Sasha Fierce will make you do what she sang about. Bow down, you female dogs. Bow down, you bees. Because the queen bee is here. I'm full of Sasha Fierce. And you bees going to bow down to me because I'm the queen. Because I got the invocation done. I got the divination done. I've invited this entity into me. You're not going to hear this in church because church is bathed in them. Church is run by the fallen angels. Church is the sinister seat of Satan. Where set up false prophets and false apostles. Read Jude. Read it. Read the Bible, what it's really telling you about what's going on. This is real. Gideon was facing off with Midianites and entities that were driving these tribes. These tribes worship the fallen angels. It's all about the fallen angels and the entities sired by them that were drowned and are now walking around looking for reincarnation in a human. That's what demons are. You see, demons are earthbound. They walk through dry places. They don't fly through heaven. Demons are not fallen angels. Demons are not angels. Demons are sired. Demons are half human, half angels. They're mutants. This is the information the devil doesn't want anybody to know. This is what's going to marginalize me and make me weird and strange and crazy. Because it's metaphysical. It's supersonic now, man. It's interdimensional. It's supernatural. You got to have real Holy Ghost power because you got to spot. You got to fight spirit with spirit. You can't fight spirit with flesh. You can't fight spirit with a theology degree. You can't fight spirit with your education and your quips and your quotes and with your fancy pants sayings. You got entities now that will destroy you. Abaddon, Apollyon, coming out of the bottomless pit, he's a destroyer. And they ain't playing with anybody, man. That's why the first one that went back were the fearful. That's why folk, man, sit in church. They don't want to hear this. They want to distract you into talking about Trump. Talking about impeaching Trump. Oh, that's pseudo wars, man. He got you focused on all this temporal carnal junk, making you believe it's valid. The devil comes with one thing after another trying to distract you. I tell anybody, it ain't my problem. I'm focused on what I got to do. I'm not going to be distracted by anybody. When you take a vow and say, look, God, I mean business. I want to do whatever you have me to do. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost and carry out your purpose. The devil comes with a bunch of stuff. Not me, man. It ain't my problem. I got one mission. I'm here to fulfill it. I got a job just like Gideon. He'll call you a mighty man or woman of valor and or virtue and say, stand up and represent me. And your answer got to be, yes, Lord. I don't know about nobody else. I don't know what they're doing. Yes, I got to do my job. I'm going to stand in my lot to get my reward. Yes, you got to be focused, man. Your face has got to be set like a flint. He can't get to Jesus. I'll kill your first cousin. John the Baptist is dead. He didn't flinch one inch. He cast out devils, raised the dead, and healed the sick. I got a mission. I got an assignment. I'm not allowed to be distracted. You got to get a strong will. You got to have a strong constitution. You got to be focused because these entities will do anything to distract you away from the mission at hand. They know one thing for sure. All is fair in love and war. It's fair in love. If I want your man, anything I got to do to get him, it's fair because I want him for me. If I got to win a war, whoever I got to kill, it's fair because I got to win. That's how they play the game. You can't afford to be light and sensitive and tender in this. This is a deadly game. Look at church people. They tender and soft, easily offended, debating about useless junk that doesn't even matter, not even being taught one inch of what I'm saying right now. This, your Bible is full of it. What is he talking about all this stuff in Ephesians chapter 6 for? Why is he bringing it up in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 about weapons of warfare that are not carnal? Why is he telling the boy, you've been chosen to be a soldier and don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life? Forget the affairs of this life. The Bible says the cares of this world will choke off the word of God and make it unfruitful. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. You've got to make up in your mind that I'm getting ready to deal with something that a science fiction writer would be in awe of. These creatures are here, and the human race reflects the fact that they're here. You go to your local store, go to Walmart. I always bring up Walmart because Walmart is like the social gathering place now. But Walmart is like, you go to a concert, you go to a club if you dare. You go to a football game and look around the stands for real. You listen to the conversations. You think that's a human talking what they're saying? beautiful girls and pretty women, F this, F that, F. What woman talks like this? These are the words of the demons. This is the unbridled filth spewing from the mouth of demon-infested humans.